Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Come on.
Welcome to Life Club. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to our monthly book club, and welcome our author, strong and powerful Emily Guy Birkin. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
Excited to have you on. Emily is a former educator. She's a lifelong money nerd, Plutus Award-winning freelance writer specializing in the scientific research behind irrational money behavior. She's the author of 5 books. Her newest is Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. Emily, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and what motivated you to write the book.
So I live in Milwaukee with my family. I'm married to a mechanical engineer, and we have 2 sons who are 11 and 8. And then we've also got a retired racing greyhound and a cat who is sometimes a throw pillow. So that's my personal life in a nutshell. I've been writing in the personal finance sphere since 2010. I tripped and fell backwards into it because of a badly timed baby plus a move. I was not going to be able to teach, which is what I'm trained as. I'm trained as a high school English teacher. And so the original plan was I was going to take a year off, but I did a little bit of creative writing all my life, and I thought I could maybe do some freelancing to bring a little bit of money coming in during that year that I was going to stay home with the baby. And one of my first clients was a financial website. I'm a lifelong money nerd. My dad was a financial planner, so it's not completely out of left field, like, you know, literature then money. It fit me like a glove. It was just a great fit to spend my time researching things that I was very interested in, and then bringing kind of a different spin to it than people who majored in finance or who, you know, had business backgrounds. So about 4 years ago, a friend of mine reached out to me, Josal Sehi, who is my co-author on Stacked, and asked if I'd be interested in writing a book with him. He very much wanted to put together a lighthearted guide to money, and he thought that I'd be a good fit. And I was very excited about that. Partially just the idea of working with a friend sounded fun. Partially because I really love including jokes and humor and pop culture references and things like that in what I write. And a lot of times that gets edited out. Because if, you know, I'm writing for someone like Forbes, they're very much, we just want the facts, ma'am. So even my most gentle of jokes will just get edited out. Let alone, you know, I don't even try the kind of hemorrhoid jokes that I'd like to write. So that was the second reason why I was really psyched about this project was, you know, I would get to let my humor off the leash, and it seemed like a fantastic creative challenge to you know, be funny, to you know, really encourage myself to be funny. And then the third reason why I was interested in it is because of my most recent book prior to Stacked. It's a book called End Financial Stress Now, and I wrote it specifically because a lot of the stress we carry about money is unnecessary. And that's not to say that, you know, you can live stress-free money-wise, but a lot of times we're carrying money stress because of our own personal trauma, because of our emotions, the way that we see the world in terms of morality, you know, just any number of things, neuroses, you know, personal experiences. And a lot of times we're putting that stress on ourselves, and we can let go of it if we just change the way we look at things. And then not only will that help you feel better, but you'll make better financial decisions once you can kind of turn that corner in your mind. So that's why I wrote the book. But a friend of mine who I went to college with, she bought a copy to support me, but she told me privately, she's like, I'm kind of terrified to read it. And I was like, oh my goodness, why? And she, her response was, because I'm afraid it's going to tell me I'm doing everything all wrong. And I realized that no matter how reassuring I am in my writing about money, if someone is not the type of person who's going to pick up a money book, I can't help them. And so Stacked was an opportunity to write a book that people who don't read money books will read. And so that was the third reason why I was very, very excited about this project.
That makes sense. And did your friend eventually read the book?
That is a good question that I don't know the answer to.
We need to get her on the phone right now.
We need to get her on the horn. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate everything you said there. Going from being an English teacher to an actual author, were you writing? Obviously, teaching is different than doing. So what was that transition like?
So I have known I wanted to be a writer since I was tiny, I think since I knew what writing was. There was a brief period when I was about 8 when I learned about Egypt and I was very interested in becoming an archaeologist. Like between Egypt and dinosaurs, I was like, digging things up sounds fun.
Yeah.
but other than that, my entire life I've known I wanted to write. And so my career has been this weird amalgam of things that were writing adjacent or things that allowed me to write. And so teaching was kind of one of the writing adjacent jobs. I love kids. I love working with kids, even the teenage kids. One of the things I like about I liked about teaching high school, and I know that like elementary school teachers are like, I don't get it, but is you can still see the kind of 5-year-old inside, and like not talking down to them, but like speaking to that 5-year-old, and trying to engage that's you know, childlike wonder that everyone has. It's a little closer to the surface with teenagers, although they like to bury it under, you know, cynicism and things like that.
For sure.
And so while I was teaching, it was very difficult to do any creative writing for myself, although, you know, every summer that was something that I worked on. And I loved bringing my creativity to my lesson plans. So trying to find ways to help the kids relate to something that they felt like was outside of their scope. So helping the kids relate to Romeo and Juliet was something that I like to do every day. And so things like having them take a something that, you know, was written in Shakespeare's English and turn it into text messages, you know, and that give them that kind of creative challenge that helps them to better understand what's being said, and then also recognize some of the things that are happening or things that they experience too.
What a cool idea that is.
Thank you.
And how fun. That's just, I fancy myself a creative person, and I love what you just said. Like, that sounds so cool. And how to find and take a topic and make it innovative, just the way that you teach it. How do you think about when you're writing Stacked? Do you think about grownups and reaching that inner 5-year-old? How are you thinking about that?
Well, with Stacked, one of the things was I was accessing my inner 14-year-old. because Joe and I both have similar senses of humor. So there are plenty of dad jokes because we both
really funny.
That kind of humor. One of the things that I learned with teaching is that you are going to get someone's attention if you're funny or shocking. That sort of thing is a good way to then reach the inner 5-year-old. So for instance, when I was teaching, I would teach juniors. I taught the book, A Prayer for Owen Meany by John Irving. And I read aloud to my students. Even the, you know, 17-year-olds, I think, benefit from being read aloud to. And I would intentionally time it so that my first read aloud day for A Prayer for Owen Meany coincided with the first F-bomb in the book. And I'd read it out loud. And oh my goodness, like all the heads like whipping around, like, what did Ms. Birkin just say?
I love it.
And then that also activated the, like, what's in this book?
That's amazing.
And so, those sorts of moments I know are going to be helpful for kind of activating interest when it's something that you are not naturally interested in. So one of my favorite jokes that I made in the book was in the chapter on investing, and it's the intro to investing. I'm explaining all the different things, and then I get to mutual funds. And for some reason, even though I've always been a money nerd, the word mutual fund sounds to me like the grownups in Peanuts. You know, we're like, wah, 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 wah. Like, just my brain turns off.
Totally.
And I was sitting there going like, how am I going to make this funny if I, who am a money nerd, am like, even though I understand the importance of mutual funds, I understand why they're an important part of your portfolio. I understand how they work, but they don't feel fun in any way to me. And then I had this realization that mutual funds has the exact same initials as Samuel L. Jackson's favorite word.
Nice.
Like, I found my way in.
You know? Here we are.
And if you just start imagining Samuel L. Jackson going, mutual fund. and so through the rest of the chapter, I just did MF. And so that people would fill in. And it just, that right there, you're sitting there going like, oh, this is interesting. This is funny. And then you're more able to take in the information, the teaching part of it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Does need to be able to have it digestible and accessible, mm-hmm. and all those terms, but mm-hmm. just you need the thing to work, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You could write this amazingly brilliant book, but if it's not actually working, then you've wasted everybody's time.
Precisely.
Did you say that it's Joe? Did you say he reached out to you 4 years ago?
Yes. That's how long a book takes to come out sometimes. So he reached out to me. It was summer of 2018.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And he had actually been trying to write a book for about 10 years. He finally got it done. He gave it to his wife, and she spent something like less than 20 minutes and handed it back to him and said, "This is awful." So yes. They have that kind of relationship. And he realized that the style he was going for didn't work for him because it was very guru on the mountain type of thing. He, you know, kind of rejiggered his idea. He wanted it to be, you know, playful. And then he also had this realization, like, it took me 10 years to write something awful. Why don't I partner with someone who I know knows how to write a book? I like to say, you know, like, he reached out to Salman Rushdie, who said no. Stephen King, he couldn't get a hold of. Agatha Christie's been dead for a while. And then he reached out to me. But sure. In reality, I was his first choice. So we started talking about it at that point. And there was quite a few ducks to get in a row. Like, we wanted to have something in place, an agreement in place between us, even before we found an agent, even before we wrote a proposal, all of that. We spent some time interviewing agents and finding the agent we wanted. We took quite a bit of time to write the first version of the proposal, and then our agent sent it back several times. She was very, very good in making sure that our proposal was going to get the best response. So we ended up getting our contract in June of 2020. So, and then wrote the book over the end of 2020, turned it in about January 2021. And then it came out December 28th, 2021. So it's not a quick process. You know, if you're interested in writing a book, you need to know that you need to be in it for the process and not for the results. And because it's not a quick process, it's not going to make you rich. Even though there's this sense among authors that, you know, like once my book is published, you know, I'll wake up that morning and my skin will be clear and all my exes will be jealous of me. And my life will be perfect. And the clouds will part and the angels will sing and the sun will shine down. And that's not what happens. That's not what happens at all. And so just recognizing why you're doing this. So, and, you know, Joe and I were very much on the same page of why we were doing this. You know, we wanted the experience of writing the book together. We wanted to have something out there that was different from other finance books. And we kind of wanted to find a new way to spread our message, rather than because, you know, I mean, obviously we'd love for the book to be, you know, runaway bestseller,
of course.
But that's is not, you know, the purpose of doing this. The purpose of doing this is to help people, and finding a way to do that, on the long term is just a wonderful thing to work on. And that provides the gratification on a daily basis rather than that instant of like, yay, New York Times bestseller, or yay, it got published.
I appreciate that. Well, it sounds like y'all did it the right way. So
well, I hope so.
Yeah, I love it. All right. So you wrote four books on your own. I'm guessing the first four, and then mm-hmm. now one with somebody else. Mm-hmm. How, I mean, that just fascinating, right? A horse or a camel is a horse made by a committee, right? So how was that?
It worked very well. It helped me understand how much I enjoy collaboration, which I have not had much of a chance to do. So, my first four books, one of the things that I've really appreciated about it is I did all four of them unagented. And so I was working directly with the publisher. And at every step of the way, the publisher trusted me. You know, writing by committee is something that I refuse to do. I have done it before at various points in my career. And it's something where, like, I'm happy to take constructive criticism. I'm happy to take suggestions. You know, if there's something that you know about that I don't, please tell me. So for instance, I cannot write titles. Like I consider myself a pretty good writer. I stink at titles. I cannot do them.
Oh, funny.
So I have not chosen the title of any of my books. And that's, you know what, that's fine. I'm totally happy to do that. But if, you know, people are saying like, you know, don't do this, do that. Oh, don't do that, do the other. Don't do the other, do the third. You know, that is something that's really frustrating. So one of the great things about collaborating with Joe is we came at it with the understanding that we each are experts, and that, you know, we knew if we disagreed on something, we could talk it through and figure out how to make it work. Most of all, because we're friends, we were going to have fun with it. One of the most fun things was the way we wrote the book is it's about 14 chapters, and we split it, you know, we each took seven. And so we each wrote our chapters and then sent it to the other person, who mostly was there to punch up the humor, you know, because we both feel very confident about the other's financial knowledge. And so we had this really fun thing of, I was writing for a very specific audience. I was writing to make Joe laugh. And so that is a lot easier than just writing to make somebody laugh.
Yeah, interesting.
As I told people while we were writing it, I said, well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be funny. I'm not sure. It makes me and Joe laugh. So hopefully that'll work for other people too.
Love it. And is number six going to be a piece of fiction, a piece of creative writing?
Oh, I do have a novel that I am in the process of. I've sent it out to agents, got a lot of rejections, you know, want to paper my walls with them. I'm probably going to be doing some rewriting and try again. And then I have another novel that I've been wanting to write for quite some time. And so I'm clearing my schedule to be able to take some time. It would be a young adult novel based on the Greek myth of Eurydice and Orpheus. But considering how long it takes for a book to go from beginning to published, I doubt that'll be my next one. It may be number 7 or 8.
Nice. Awesome. So what are you hoping that when somebody picks up Stacked, your super serious guide to modern money management, that they will take away from it?
I want them to take away the idea that money can be fun. A lot of people carry so much stress around money that they don't think of it as something that can be enjoyable. And when you treat money as only slightly less fun than a colonoscopy, you avoid it. So I'm hoping people will stop having that avoidance of their money. And I'm hoping they can also take from it that you can make mistakes and bounce back and be successful. We have this, life or death sense about money. And so that's why Joe and I were very open about mistakes that we have made in the book, because we want people to understand that it's not about perfect behavior. It's about picking yourself up and starting again when you do make a mistake.
Well said. So I've got two boys, 5 and 2 years old, and we spent a good amount of time digging with sticks and picking up rocks. Are you able to scratch that archaeology itch with your kids, Emily?
A little bit. Yeah. There's less of the digging up sticks, that these days than there was, but they do love those kinds of like science kits that are, a dinosaur that you have to excavate. So there will be times where like they'll get bored and mom will still be working. Yeah, on
somebody's got to finish this. Yeah. Love it. Well, Emily, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and where can they get a copy of Stacked, your super serious guide to modern money management?
Well, Lifeblood listeners can, I have a welcome page on my website specifically for your listeners. It's emilyguyburkin.com/LB. And so when you go there, I've got several different resources available for your listeners, including a PDF that is going to help you figure out how you feel about money. It's an exercise called the 5 Whys that I love. I love introducing people to. There's a link on that page to purchase the book and a link to purchase the audiobook, because I know a lot of times people who like podcasts are avid audiobook listeners. And then you can also find my book anywhere books are sold. I like sending people to bookshop.org if you're going to buy online, because that helps with your local bookstores. But you can also go to Amazon or any of your local bookstores, and you should be able to find it on the shelf.
Awesome. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Emily your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to emilyguyburkin.com. That's emilyguyburkin.com/LB, and take advantage of that PDF going through the 5 Whys. That's a wonderful exercise. If you're not familiar with it, check that out and pick up a copy of the book wherever you buy your books. But bookshop.org is a great way to do that. And also the audio book will be available as well. Thanks again, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.